The sermon text is the Holy Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew came with Philip and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen. Amen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel, but if it dies, it produces much grain. Anyone who loves his life destroys it, and the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, this is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." A voice came from heaven, "I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel talked to him. Jesus answered, "This voice was not for my sake, but for yours. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be thrown out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate what kind of death he was going to die. The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We want to see Jesus. That is what a group of Greeks wanted. These Greeks were converts to Judaism. They had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of the Passover, which was a time when Jewish people and converts to Judaism from all over the world made a pilgrimage to that holy city to celebrate that high festival. And one way or another, these Greeks had gained some knowledge of who Jesus was. It's possible that they were there already on Palm Sunday to get a glimpse of Jesus' triumphant entry into the city. This Gospel of St. John also reports that the witnesses of Lazarus' resurrection were busy spreading the word about it all over that city of Jerusalem, so it's possible they heard about Jesus that way. But one way or the other, they had some information about Jesus, and now they wanted to see him. They wanted to meet Jesus in person. And because these Greeks make that request, Jesus shows them, and he shows us today, who he really is. We get to see who Jesus really is, what he's really all about. A very wise pastor that I used to serve near had these words written in calligraphy and taped right here to the top of his pulpit. "Let them see Jesus." And that was the simple prayer that he made before he started every sermon. And it's true that every good sermon, every good hymn, every liturgical rite and gesture has that same goal, to let you see Jesus. Even good church buildings are designed so that the people driving outside, the people worshiping inside, can see Jesus in the architecture and the symbols of the building. But the big question for us this morning is, do we want to see Jesus? And I mean, really see him. See Jesus for who he really is and want Jesus to be who he really is. Do we, in the first place, want to see a Jesus who is glorified by death? The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen. Amen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain. This is the glorified Jesus, a dying seed. This is how Jesus is praised, honored, and celebrated, in death. His glory does not come in dollar signs or packed arenas. His glory is in death. His glory is gory. And this is what it means to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That you see the glory of God behind the suffering flesh of Jesus Christ. You see the glory of God under a crown of thorns, nailed to a cross. You see God's glory behind the stone of a tomb, a kernel fallen to the ground dead. That is Jesus' glory. Is that the Jesus we want to see? Do we want to see a Jesus who says, anyone who loves his life destroys it, and the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life? Because you see, this is the fruit that grows from the dead kernel of Jesus Christ. The fruit is that you, his people, his church, would hold no attachment at all to your life in this world. That you would abandon everything in this world, including your life itself. That you would let no desire of your sinful self take you away from following Jesus. That's the fruit that grows from the dead kernel of Jesus Christ. That you, his church, when you place everything in this world in the balance against eternal life, everything, your job, your money, your promotions, your toys, your vacation, your health, your family, your rights, your privileges, everything else in this world, and you put it in the balance against eternal life, you would hate it all. Is that the Jesus we want to see? Do we want to see a Jesus who says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Because this is also the life that sprouts from the death of Jesus Christ. A life where you are where he wants you to be. And you want to be where he wants you to be. It is a life where he is master and you are servant. He's captain, your crew. He leads, you follow. It's a life where Jesus tells you, that's a sin. And you knock it off because he says so. It is a life where Jesus says, sacrifice time with your team, with your best friend, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend, to be with me. And you do it. Where he is, there you are. Is that the Jesus we want to see? Do we want to see the Jesus who refuses to use his power to leave his Father's plan? Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, this is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. The Word made flesh has all the power right at the fingertips to do whatever he wants, and he simply does not use it. He does not consider his equality with God something to be grasped or flaunted. He lowers himself, makes himself the very lowest servant, obedient to death on a cross. So he does not use his power to stop Judas's betrayal or Peter's denial. He does not use his power to stop Caiaphas's cunning or Pilate's flogging or the soldiers crucifying or the father's abandonment. He lets them all have their way. And this Jesus also does not always use his power for you and me. He does not always answer our prayers the way we'd like him to, at least not in the moment. He does not always heal us. He doesn't always just make all of our problems go away. Is this the Jesus we want to see? The one who does not use his power? Do we want to see a Jesus who speaks openly of being crucified? And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. So Jesus announced it ahead of time. Whether anybody there understood what he was saying or not. And look, if they thought the sound of the Father was a rumble of thunder, it's likely that they missed the meaning of these words too. But it doesn't change the fact Jesus did announce it ahead of time. I am raised up to the shame and the humiliation of crucifixion. And because I am, I draw people to myself. And through me, they come to the Father and they come to the glory of heaven. I am the way. See, the real Jesus does not straddle any fences, and he doesn't leave lots of roads open to God. No other gift, no other effort, no other faith, no other sacrifice takes you there. Only Jesus, raised up on the cross, drawing you to him and through him to the Father and to the glory of heaven. In Christ alone is life. Is that the Jesus we want to see? The one who says, I draw all to myself. The unbelieving heart and even the sinful nature in the believer answers this question. Is this the Jesus we want to see? It answers this question the same way every time, which is, oh, no, no, this is not at all the Jesus I want to see. I want to see a Jesus who finds his glory in big piles of money and crowds of adoring admirers, not a Jesus who finds glory in a gory death. I want to see a Jesus, matter of fact, I want to see a Jesus who never dies and never lets me die. I want to see a Jesus who allows me to love my life in this world together with all of its trappings more than anything else. I want to see a Jesus who is where I want him to be, and he doesn't ask me to leave my comfort to obey him or to sacrifice. I want to see a Jesus who uses all of his power every time to make all my problems go away. And I want to see a Jesus who makes himself optional. But we are not just our sinful nature. We are not even mostly our sinful nature. Our true identity is believers. And God has given the heart of believers faith to say, I want to see the real Jesus. I want to see the Son of God who was raised up on the cross to suffer and die for my sins, to draw me, to draw all to himself, to the Father and to the glory of heaven. The heart of the believer says, I want to see the real Jesus, every part of him, every aspect of him, as he is, and agree, this is the real Jesus, and this is the Jesus I want. This is my Jesus. Amen.